This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, broadcasting live from the 10th floor of our community village in Bourke Street, Idaho. Sponsored by the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Find us at vicaids.asn.au.
The Joy 94.9 International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia broadcast is proudly supported through funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and sponsored by the VAC GMHC in support of the NOTA Homophobia campaign.
Matt Dixon has held the role of the CEO at VAC since July 2011, previously holding a role as Senior Policy Officer in the Victorian Department of Health. Welcome to the panel.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're sponsoring this event, I believe.
Yes, and we see it as a great honour to be here and to be sponsoring this event and to sort of get it the highest profile that it can get. So wonderful to be involved.
Okay, so why is it so important? Tell us a little bit about Victorian AIDS Council and why this campaign's so important,
event. Certainly Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, our core focus is on HIV, but we also know that sort of some of the determinants of HIV are how gay people, gay men mostly, which sort of makes up 80% of the HIV epidemic, are accepted in society. The more comfortable gay men are to be themselves, to just be part of community, the less HIV we will see in the future. Of course, there's a lot of other things that add to what causes HIV, but certainly a healthy, accepting, broad community that celebrates its LGBTIQ people is a much nicer environment and a much more conducive environment to HIV prevention.
Absolutely. I think the more, communities feel empowered, the more, control that they have over their health outcomes. Mm. And I guess that's what a lot of work around challenging stigma does, because stigma is such a disempowering thing for a lot of people in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so silencing. Mm. So it stops the conversations that need to happen, and that means that the education that people need, they don't have access to, because people aren't out there talking in community about the stuff that matters around sexual health and sexual decision making and all of that, relationships. So stigma is it's such a limiting thing. It's nasty.
Can we speak about the links between discrimination and health outcomes?
Yeah, well, certainly I think there's really good evidence, and I don't have it off the top of my head, and I think Liam Leonard from Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria would have been here earlier, and he would have been firing with the stats, I would imagine. He's really good at that, and I wish I had that skill. But certainly we know in a general sense that people who are discriminated against, who don't feel like they're fully equal members of society, it has direct effects on their mental health. I've been reading some articles recently, some articles in journals about minority stress, and the actual fact that there's this sort of hormonal effect of cortisol levels and stuff, which I don't pretend to understand, but maybe I should go and do some homework on it before talking about it on the radio. Sorry, listener. But it does have some real negative effects on people at individual level, and certainly, as we all know, in our broader communities, our GLBTIQ communities, it really has a nasty effect and a very chilling effect on development of healthy community and communication within communities.
Yeah. And Matt, there's also internalised homophobia, which also prevents people from getting tested as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. People who may be same-sex attracted, men who are having sex with men, may not have a gay male identity yet, or may never have that. There's plenty of diversity. But if people aren't comfortable and there's a sense of shame about who they are and what they do and their identity, then fronting up for testing is pretty unlikely, because that's actually confronting the thing that is your inner demon.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we say VAC, it is quite often added with the adjunct of GMHC, being the Gay Men's Health Centre.
Yeah.
Now, today is International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia. I'm wondering if the Victorian AIDS Council is still active on transphobia and biphobia as well?
Yeah. Well, I think the question is not so much whether we're still active, because I think historically we have been not very active.
Right.
And, you know, that's sort of, that's a part of history. That's the, you know, the organisation sort of grew up from gay community in response to the spectre of HIV at a time when no one else was doing all of that much. So it's a beautiful, you know, story. It's sort of a horrific story, but it's also a beautiful story of
coming together,
community taking control and you know, standing up and fighting when that fight really needed to happen. I think these days, I suppose one thing that I can say is that we had a strategic planning process during 2012, and I can see a whole lot of people starting to snore as soon as I mentioned strategic planning. So I won't talk too much about that, except to say that we did lots of consultation with broader community, including LGBTIQ community, and we got quite a strong sense from people in that feedback saying, yeah, we understand that your core work is HIV and that needs to be mostly about gay men because that's where the epidemic is in Victoria and in Australia. However, we think it's time and we would welcome you starting to sort of explore what you might do to support broader communities and the groups within those communities, because as we all know, the amount of funding and resourcing for lots of our sort of rainbow communities, it's not great, and people struggle, and you know, put in a hell of a lot of their own time, and you know, it's a hard graft. So that was one thing that we got really strongly from our strategic planning process: open the door and start, you know, sort of moving out and seeing where you get to. And certainly, but also, it's important to note that communities said, "Don't come and take over."
Yeah.
So be a partner, don't lead us.
Sure.
And, you know, and my feeling is that wouldn't be appropriate either, say, you know, for intersex or trans Victorians. It's not that we have the expertise around that. So we have some resources, we have some experience in health promotion and some other bits and pieces, marketing, that sort of stuff, that we can use to help our friends in those broader communities. So that's in a way part of why we're here today and why we're supporting this.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, the VAC GMHC formed in 1983 as a central part of the Victorian Community Response to HIV AIDS Epidemic. VAC GMHC continues to lead the response by providing a range of services and other sort of health promotion responses. I'm wondering if you could talk about some of the latest developments at VAC, some of the new projects that you've had coming on board.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. One thing is that we're 30 this year, which is
wow.
It's such a bittersweet birthday, because each decade of the HIV epidemic, the people sort of in the know and sort of in the positions of influence at the time sort of thought, well, we won't be here for another 10 years because we're going to beat HIV. It's not going to be there anymore and, you know, it'll be over. And, you know, we all know it looks like it's still a fair way from over. So there's sort of sadness and regret about that. But there's also great sort of celebration that this organisation that has, you know, that has survived for all of this time and still is, you know, doing good work in HIV prevention and care and support. Some new things that we're doing, there's always lots of new things. One thing that we're doing with the broader LGBTIQ community is we've got a bit of funding from Department of Health and Ageing at the federal level to do some work in substance use and mental health. So people who have an experience of some substance misuse is what the government says. I just say substance use and don't sort of put a judgment on that.
Yeah, words are not neutral.
Yeah, people who have a concern about their level or, you know, their form of substance use and who have a low-level mental health issue. So we're getting into that and we're launching it's called Altered States, and I think we'll be launching it within a month or two.
Wow.
So
that's great.
Stay tuned for that.
You're getting a lot of nods in the audience with what you've just said, so you're doing well.
Yeah.
Final
exciting
question,
times.
Though. Final question, Matt. What does homophobia mean to you?
Okay, I think I've thought a bit about this, and I think one of the things that it means to me is it's about invisibility and the harm of the invisibility, that if people are silenced, homophobia silences people and stops them coming forward and showing who they are, and that makes people invisible. That means that they're not showing up in data and stats, so the services that people might need aren't available to them, but the people in power might think, well, there's no problem, there's, you know, there's no one there, that sort of thing. I think also, you know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, we talk about homophobia, but it can be a bit of a catch-all to include biphobia and transphobia. So I suppose I'd just like to mention that we need to sort of find ways to be a bit more inclusive there. And then there's also intersex phobia as well. One thing I'd like to sort of, you know, note is that I think amongst gay males, you know, 20 years ago when I was a younger gay man, the biphobia and the transphobia that I used to see was sort of rife and very accepted and very common. And it's much less so now. Still a long way to go, but I think it's good to note that we're, I think, on the right track, but we need to keep going.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Dinkson from VAC.
Thank you.
Thanks for sponsoring this event as well. Thank you.
The Joy 94.9 International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia broadcast is proudly supported through funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and sponsored by the VAC GMHC in support of the No to Homophobia campaign.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The Joy 94.9 International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia broadcast is proudly supported through funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and sponsored by the VAC GMHC in support of the No to Homophobia campaign. You are currently with Anastasia and Christian.
I'm still here.
Fantastic. Anastasia, who have we got up next?
We're going to be speaking to...
Oh, I'm back on. Lisa... is a community engagement inspector with 30 years of police service, having worked as a local area manager of Port Phillip. And we're also going to be speaking to Electra. Now, apparently Lisa's your boss.
Yes, so we're all working well together today, aren't we?
Yes, yes, totally.
You have to be extra nice. Now, listeners may be familiar with Electra Wellen. So Electra is one of the gay and lesbian liaison officers with Victoria Police and also is on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, I'm really proud to say that we've had a really strong relationship with Joy FM for a number of years and taking on the legacy that Scott Davis has had with the relationship here at the station, which is fantastic. And just by coincidence, we've just formed up another team with another Scott, which is on a Tuesday. So we're looking forward to being on his program every now and again. And, in fact, met with the Chief Commissioner, Ken Lay, the other day, and he mentioned how he's looking forward to coming back on Joy. So we're going to set a date aside and have him back on with Scott very shortly.
That's brilliant. Now, for people who may not be familiar with what a gay and lesbian liaison officer is, and I'm sure there's like two or three, what is the gay and lesbian liaison officer function within Victorian Police?
Well, that's a really good question. I guess the word liaison gives that little tick away about what that actually means. Our role is a little bit different, and we'll hear from the Australian Federal Police shortly as well, which a little bit about their role. So liaison, I guess, for us is we have a variety of community engagement liaison officers. Part of those are we have YROs, which is youth resource officers. We have lots of little acronyms within Victoria Police because we need to keep our time a little bit condensed. So the main role of GLO is a gay and lesbian and also for GLBTI community in general to act as a gateway really to Victoria Police if there's any issues or concerns within the community, or we can assist victims as well. But our main aim is actually to build and strengthen relationships with the community and Victoria Police. So that works both ways. So for police internally as well, how we can help assist them do their job better, and also for the community as well.
That's fantastic. So I'm wondering if you can describe a lot of the behind-the-scenes work that's going on with the Victoria Police to make them more responsive to issues of homophobia, biphobia and transphobia.
Well, one of the ones I guess Lisa would probably mention about is the reference group, which we work really well with. The reference group is something that Lisa chairs in her new role as a community engagement inspector. Maybe, Lisa, you'd like to mention a bit about that.
Certainly. We have different members of the community who come together as a reference group for Victoria Police, which informs us about what's happening in the community, and we can hear the concerns directly so that we can take some action.
That's fantastic. And I'm wondering, so is that a reference group that meets regularly? How often do you meet throughout the year?
So that's bi-monthly that we try to get together, and we have a lot of the guests that have actually been on today on your show actually sit on the reference group, and that's a real credit to the community and our relationship as well with Victoria Police, that we have really outstanding community members making definite change, working with police to bring issues to our attention and vice versa as well, so that share information sharing, like I said about that gateway, and also as far as trying to change the landscape within Victoria and community as a whole as well.
Mm-hmm. How have you been able to do that? Can you give us some examples of positive stories of being able to help gay youth? Or
yeah, look, it's probably really hard to drill right down to, say, like an individual one, because we like to keep privacy around that. But I guess one of the big ones are that the reference group has really helped on over the years as well is like coming up with Victoria Police a beats management strategy. So that's something that we try and do for Victoria Police. So we create a policy to provide guidelines about how we should be engaging in the community, and also putting the importance of the rights of individuals in a human rights framework as well. So I guess that's a broad little policy side of things, and also it might be like from a policing or operational side of things, it might be of how we search people as well, especially if there's a gender identity as well. So we have policies around that, and it's really important to work with the community to get those concerns of what they may be having so we can work those out.
Yeah. I want to bring up a difficult issue. in the most recent Mardi Gras, after the most recent Mardi Gras, there was a couple of police incidents that went viral, if you like, and it certainly did no favours to the perception of, the police being a GLBTI-friendly agency, if you like. I'm wondering if you can talk about sort of the work, the internal work that that Victoria Police is doing to address, I don't know, maybe some of the potential homophobia that might come within Victoria Police?
I can certainly address it. Firstly, I'd just like to point out that that was in New South Wales.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly not in Victoria. And this year we had the largest contingent of Victoria Police in our Pride March that we've ever had, and no incidents, so we're very proud of that. Generally speaking, all of our members, through recruit training, go through a range of cultural development training. With that, it's certainly around gay and lesbian or GLBTI community. It's also in relation to new and emerging communities. So there's a whole range of training that Victoria Police go through. There is ongoing support, and there's certainly guidelines around discrimination from Victoria Police members. Even to the extent of people we were aware recently that there was a settlement that from 2005. As a result of that, we are now going out to all members of the community with a survey to inform Victoria Police how we can do things better. We're then looking at our training once again to make sure that we are addressing all concerns of the community. So it's ongoing for Victoria Police, and we are certainly well aware of policing in this area, and through the community engagement support team, we do cover a number of areas of discrimination in the community.
Fantastic. Just to wind up, this is our last question. We have been asking everyone here today what homophobia means to them. So to Electra and Lisa, either of you, either both of you, how would you respond to that question?
Well, I guess it's a really similar theme here today, is the word phobia being from the Greek terminology of being a fear, and it's about how we break that down, and that's really important. I know it can be such a word that's really hard, homophobia, transphobia and biphobia. It says all about fear, but labelling is one way that we can stop to address that, but at the same time we need to actually put it out there so we can have really good conversations within the community about what that means for individuals on a daily basis, and that low-level stuff of really addressing it, and that's where the Know to Homophobia website really works well, where people can get informed about low-level stuff right up to criminal behaviour. So it's really important.
Fantastic. Lisa and Electra, everybody.
Thank you. The Joy 94.9 International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia broadcast is proudly supported through funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and sponsored by the VAC GMHC in support of the No to Homophobia campaign.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
live atop City Village supporting the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia, proudly sponsored by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre and the Community Broadcast Foundation.
Fantastic. And you are with Anastasia and Christian. And we're joined by a very special guest, somewhat of a community legend, some people feel. We have with us Ros Ward from Safe Schools Coalition.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Happy Idaho Day.
Happy Idaho Day. Now, Ros, you've been around in the community for quite a while doing a lot of good work. Did you want to introduce yourself and, like, all the stuff that you've done?
Okay.
And recently.
Sure.
Oh, that's who we've only got you.
Yeah, yeah. In the time that we have. Well, I guess the main thing happening today is work with Safe Schools Coalition Victoria. So at the moment, I manage youth programs at Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, which is where Safe Schools Coalition Victoria kind of finds its home. And today, with our 103 school members across Victoria, there's a whole range of different schools taking part in activities with students, staff, family members, all getting involved, right from Geelong through to Melbourne, through to other regional rural areas across Victoria. It's very exciting.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And just the sheer number of schools that have signed up to the Safe Schools Coalition, it must be really heartening to your work to see that sort of response.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And all we seem to get is positive feedback from the community, which is fantastic. You know, we kind of thought, is this going to take off as an idea, I guess nearly 2 years ago now, nearly 3 years ago, actually. Oh, where are we? Yeah, nearly 3 years ago. And it has. And the schools really tell us, and it's not just the same-sex attracted students or the transgender students, but the whole school community feedback that we get is that this is a positive thing to be saying, that we actually do more than just challenge homophobia and transphobia. We actually support gender and sexual diversity. We think it's a good thing. We think it's a positive thing for our school. We think it's great if young people feel comfortable to come out and be themselves within the school that they feel safe in, and that their parents really welcome that, and that there's a whole, you know, it feels good for teachers too. I think it's just one of those things that people, once they give it a go, they realise, why haven't we done this before?
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm just wondering, what are sort of the ways that the Safe School Coalition enables schools to become a safer environment for people, for young people to be themselves more?
We do a range of different things. I mean, we have a website with a lot of resources, and you know, you don't have to join or make any kind of formal commitment in order to get involved with our work. But I think having the membership of schools is really important, just to make that visible and outward statement, to say we are a school that's committed to supporting gender and sexual diversity. And we also do a lot of work with school staff to really empower them and help them gain confidence to make sure that they're challenging homophobic behaviour and transphobic behaviour every time that happens in schools.
How do you do that? Do you run workshops, or how does that work?
Yeah, we run professional learning sessions for staff. We're approaching 3,000 staff across Victoria that we've had face-to-face contact with in schools.
Wow.
And talked about sexual diversity and gender diversity, often for the first time for those staff. And we've found staff who've been teaching for 25, 30 years and have said, this is the first time I've been able to have a conversation about this in my life as a teacher. So even starting those conversations in schools, making them feel more confident to challenge that behaviour. And I think realise that the policy is out there in Victoria from the Department of Education that says that the department is committed as well, because they fund our work and they have a great policy that says we should be supporting sexual diversity. In fact, it's not a risk to be doing work to support same-sex attracted students. It's a risk if you don't do that work. And particularly if you're a government school.
Yeah. Absolutely. We have been asking everybody today here on our special International Day Against Homophobia broadcast what homophobia means to each of our guests up here. So continuing that along, Ros, what does homophobia mean to you?
Well, it's something, I guess, that's kind of shaped my life in good and bad ways. And I think some of my experiences at school and with some of the great staff that I had to support me when I came out of school has been a real lesson in the difference that it can make. And I think also working with a whole lot of young people who experience homophobia but yet are so resilient and so proud to be who they are is an inspiration in the way that the community supports those young people. And I think those young people get active and want to do something more, and you know, so we can turn that homophobia upside down and use it for something good. That's kind of what we try to do.
Can you tell us a little bit about the pledge?
Yeah, you know, it's we seem to have...
I'm dying for you to read it out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the Pledge 2.0.
Take your time.
Yeah, so we also have a pledge that Safe Schools Coalition Victoria, along with Minus 18, has put out specifically for young people, although, of course, they should take the No to Homophobia pledge as well. Our pledge says, I will never stay silent about homophobia and transphobia. I will always take a stand against bullying. I am part of the solution. This is my pledge.
Wow.
So we want young people not just to not...
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.